It was awesome to have the return of the NBA last night. I loved every minute of the Clippers and the Lakers. It felt like a NBA Finals series or a Western Conference final. Scoop Jackson, ESPNChicago.com, one of the best NBA insiders in the business. He is standing by live on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line. And that was a cool night in the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, man. I hate to keep saying the same phrase over and over again because it gets corny once it, you know, reaches a certain level. But it really was like Christmas in July. It was needed. You know, not saying that Christmas every year is needed, but what we've been through lately, and those of us who love the, you know, just love sports. But I'll specifically keep it to basketball because I don't want to, you know, throw shade on any other sport that has already started back up. But for those of us that really, really love the game of basketball, that was needed last night. It was great.
I was impressed with how good the basketball was.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. We know at this level, professional athletes, they are one step away from playoff mode. So, you know, they've had time inside the bubble to get a few games and get that rust out, and, you know, they've been practicing. But their mentality, at least for some teams, you know, is that we have really 6 to 8 games to get into the playoffs. And then, you know, from a player standpoint, they're like, this is it. We have to treat this as playoff situation, even though our seeding, like, is probably going to be the same. We have to be in playoff mode now because if we start playoff mode, you know, 2 weeks from now, we may be behind the curve on some of these teams who came in here in playoff mode. Like, if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, I have to be in playoff mode right now because there's a chance that Portland's healthy and they're in playoff mode already. And if they get in and they got an 8-game playoff mentality ahead of us, we can get beat in the first round by them because they're already ahead of us. So, you know, professional athletes, if you've been in the game for a long time, they're already trained and conditioned to already be in a certain mentality at this stage of a season. And I think a lot of teams, especially with sitting around watching film and talking and spending time, you know, they've convinced themselves that they have to be in playoff mode and they show it on the court. So I'm not surprised because I think they understand the urgency in the short amount of time they have to get to where they have to get to right now.
Man, I could watch Kawhi, LeBron, PG-13, Davis. I could watch the Lakers and the Clippers every night. I'm serious, Scoop.
Yeah, and look at the games they played before this game. It just lived up to it. That this is a, you know, I don't want to call it, you know, overhype it as being a rivalry, but this is the beginnings of an early rivalry that may just, you know, not, you know, end at the end of this season. It may carry over in the next season, you know, as long as LeBron is in the Laker uniform, you know, and under contract with the Lakers, and as long as, you know, the Clippers, you know, hold on to and build around PG and Kawhi, this could be the beginning of something. You know what I'm saying? At least it's like 2-3 seasons that a rivalry will develop.
LeBron was playing it on both ends of the floor. His defense in the fourth quarter was, man, I don't know if I've seen him just get up in someone's face and lock them down. That had a little old-school MJ feel to it.
It did. You know, and it's going to be interesting to see what – this is one of those things. I'm glad you brought that up. It's going to be interesting to see the effect of the last dance. Not on just all players, but specifically LeBron, because of the conversation over the years that's been circulating between he and Michael Jordan. I wonder how that's going to affect him. And I wouldn't credit it to Last Dance. You made a good mention, so now I'm rethinking it. But I thought just Frank Vogel and Anthony Davis have brought a new sense of defensive purpose to a LeBron James team that we haven't seen in a long time. They're probably since Miami. Because, you know, you look at what they were doing defensively and the lack of commitment to defense that those teams had in Cleveland. You know, it really wasn't there. It really wasn't there consistently. But this season, with Vogel being there and Anthony Davis coming in, you know, what are they, third or fourth in the league in defensive efficiency? Whatever, they've shown a commitment to defense. And LeBron has played, you know, into that because he's a totally different player this year than he was the year before, and really in the last couple of years because of what he's doing at the point guard position for them. But it's the defensive commitment that he's locking back into that we've seen all season that played itself out at the end and in the fourth quarter last night that is indicative of what I think is going to be, you know, what we're going to see moving forward when it comes to him and playing defense. But that being said, I didn't take The Last Dance in consideration. And I think now that you mention it, it's going to be interesting to see if that has any type of impact on what we see on LeBron moving forward, because now the world has got a glimpse of, you know, Michael in a way that it hadn't before. And to maintain and sustain his position in that Michael Jordan, LeBron James conversation, he may have to be committed to defense on a regular basis like he was last night.
I don't remember. I'm being honest. Maybe at the end of, you know, some of the finals games when it's one possession, but right. I never remember against quality opponents, and you got George and Kawhi, two of the best guys in the league right now, right? Is that I've never seen LeBron look that into playing defense in a regular season game.
And here's the thing that was amazing. My son and I watched it last night. He did it without even putting his hands up. Like, he just stayed body to them. And that's a whole nother commitment to defense where he's like, it's almost like, I dare you to try to shoot. I dare you to try to shoot. And whatever you do, I'm not leaving you from a body standpoint. It was basically lower body, chest, and footwork that kept him defensively locked into both Kawhi and on the switch to Paul George, which is something you don't see because a lot of times players use their hands to bail them out defensively. And that gets them in a lot of trouble because it allows the referees to make easy calls. LeBron was so locked in last night, he didn't even use his hands to play lockdown defense. And that's when you're really locked in.
Scoop, when you have the award-winning story comparing LeBron's comeback and inspired by The Last Dance to Michael at ESPNChicago.com, and you're winning like a Pulitzer Prize. You had better say, you know what? It was a huge show across Michigan and huge brought up that, compare, you know, defense to Michael. And you're going to, now there'll be a 10 Netflix and Scoop Jackson Enterprises presents The Last Chance.
If it ever happens, there's no chance in hell it's ever going to happen. But if it ever does happen, trust me, all the credit's going to you.
Oh, I just want to...
You are the one that sparked this.
I want the camera coming up behind me like MJ when he was looking out at Atlantic Ocean or wherever he was looking out at that lake house. It was like the godfather of basketball, you know, when they're panning in. It was so well done, and it is cool to watch.
Hey, man, look, I'll go Netflix one better. Right now. I'll split the check with you.
I'll
go one better.
Superfly, keep that tape rolling right now because I've never heard Scoop Jackson say he's going to split the check. You know, because one thing.
I'll split the check on this with you.
Well, and it's weird that you do bring up The Last Dance and Michael, and you're watching it with your son, and I'm locked in on that game, and I'm looking at Davis, and I'm looking at LeBron, and I'm thinking Pippen and Jordan.
Yeah, they have a chance. And, you know, you could also look at Kawhi and Paul there and look at the twosome and like, all right, this is how teams were built back in the day, and it seems like even we'll throw Kyrie and Kevin in there for next year, you know, where they're building around two players. The thing about LeBron and AD is I don't want to be premature in saying this, they have a chance to complement each other in the way that Jordan and Pippen did that Kawhi and Paul may not be able to do. The thing that made Michael and Scottie complement each other so well is they were able to do the exact thing that the other one wasn't able to do. And between them, you had almost a flawless and perfect player. You had the most complete duo ever because what one couldn't do, the other could do. Now, in LeBron and AD, even at a size difference that Michael and Scottie didn't have, the brilliance of allowing LeBron all season long to basically play point guard is what makes them so complete. Because I think if you stick LeBron in his regular position, he's playing small or power forward, you know, it negates how he and Anthony can be complete because you don't have the ball handle ability, you don't have the decision-making of LeBron from the top of the court. And the spacing and them being able to do whatever they do, and it allows also Anthony to free himself up to not play so much in the post, and he's free to do what he really likes to do instead of beating everybody in the post and extending his game to the, you know, where he's a stretch five, you know, and LeBron being able to play that point allows that to happen in a way where, like, you know what, if they do this over the course of not just this season, but next season and the season after that, we may see once again the completeness of them being the perfect player because all facets of the game are covered.
Scoot Jackson, ESPNChicago.com, one of the top NBA insiders in the game, joining us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine Guest Line. I do look forward to Houston and Dallas wrapping up today's full schedule. Orlando and Brooklyn underway. Memphis and Portland will play coming up in a few minutes. But, man, that Houston-Dallas game to close out day two of the bubble, I'm looking forward to that.
I am, too. And I think Dallas is one of those up-and-coming teams that if – like, we're going to be talking about them in the conversation, I think, next year. I'll be surprised if they get to the conference finals this year. But they're that team, to me, that is, you know, probably ahead of New Orleans, probably ahead of Utah. They're that next team. They have everything in position to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play, you know, coming into this, with the chance of at least, you know, making some noise in the playoffs and being that team, as we see every year, that team that nobody wants to see. And Houston has a lot to prove, you know, especially with their style of basketball, but, you know, with their history possibly going against them. And, you know, as I said earlier, there are going to be teams that are coming into this seeding situation in full playoff mentality. And I think we have two teams that can't afford not to be in this mentality, you know, coming in to starting off game one.
Yeah, New Orleans, that was a tough loss for them. To get beat by Utah, where they had a chance to get that as they're pushing for qualification in the top eight. Scoop Jackson, ESPN, Chicago.com. Yeah, great basketball. Can't wait to watch a full schedule. I think between the NBA, NHL, and MLB, 66 live games this weekend. Wow.
Yeah, that's and once again, and coming out of what we came out of, and basically, you know, being reduced to almost no live games, this is, once again, I hate to keep using it because it's a corny statement, but it's so appropriate, man. It's, well, I put it, Kwanzaa in July. There you go.
Kwanzaa in July.
There you go.
Kwanzaa in June, July, Kwanzaa in August. And then we're going to see, you know, football's a different animal. The NFL, and we'll find out if more players opt out in college football, in high school football, in even youth football.
Let me ask you a quick question before we go on. Do you think what's going on in Major League Baseball is going to have any impact on what's going to on decisions that the NFL is going to make of how they start?
No, because baseball players aren't tackling each other unless you're the Dodgers and the Astros playing each other. But I think this, Scoop, and I've said this last week, 10 days, as I look at the return of football, the NFL will have to be the first out there. They're the pros, guys making millions, franchises are worth billions. And I think college football will wait for at least a couple of games in the NFL. High school football may wait until mid-September, October, if a school association or a state is still looking for an answer, or just push it until spring. And I think the same with youth, because there's no blueprint on the return of tackle football anywhere in the world. Every other sport, every other sport except, well, hockey, you'll get it this weekend, right? You've had the exhibition games. Pretty much every other sport has found a way to slowly come back, all the safety precautions in place, but nowhere in the world have you seen a tackle football game during the pandemic.
No, you haven't. And I think the NFL is a little bit different because they don't have an educational component that they have to attach to whether they return or not.
Oh, well, the kids can do the online. You know, to me, And I know everyone will say student-athletes. We get that, okay? But you can put the student-athletes in a bubble to protect them. Because here's what's up. If you're not going to play sports, if you're a school and you've said, like a lot of conferences have, small right now, the big boys are waiting, but I'm talking D3 or other D2 conferences.
Yeah.
If you're saying their sports can't be played, then you shouldn't allow the students back on campus.
No, I agree with you, but my thing is that they still haven't actually figured that out, and the one thing they don't want to have is a PR nightmare where the message comes across that sports is more important than education. That's all.
If you in know, the next I 2 weeks...
They can't have one without the other. That's what I'm basically saying. The NFL doesn't have to worry about that.
Right. I think in the next 2 weeks, from a high school and a college point of view, sports and school, the next 2 weeks and the coronavirus numbers in individual states will dictate whether we're going to see football this fall at any level, at any college, outside of the NFL. Because NFL has the money, and I am surprised they haven't done more of a bubble, considering how much money is on the line for the biggest sport in America. And I'm surprised they didn't do a bubble at their training facilities, and guys would have to commit. And if you didn't want to commit, then they would find backup players or sign other people. So a lot of money on the line. A lot of players are opting out. Baseball, you know, you had the Marlins until the reports of two Cardinal players testing positive. Yeah. I, you know, here's Scoop, here's where I'm at, man. And it's that unknown, and we don't know. Okay.
Yeah, no, I
get we're talking all the cases. I understand the hot spots in Florida and Texas and Arizona, but now it looks like the hospitals are clearing out, which is incredible news, and things are going the other way. But to me, we're so focused on cases now that, you know, in sports, we haven't seen a player have to go stay in the hospital yet, at least by reports.
Right.
We haven't seen a NBA player test positive at the bubble and he's in Orlando General, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
When you shut it down. That's good. If somebody, we've seen cases of people, you know, not feeling well and 2 days later or they're quarantined 10 or 14 days later,
right?
They're back.
We need to see somebody on a ventilator.
Well, you know, and you don't want that. You don't want that.
You don't want that, but in order, right, in order to put.
Shut it down, you have to.
Right, in order to shut it down, yeah, you may have to, right. I got you.
But knowing who wants to be the person to take that chance, because then you're going to get railed that you put somebody in that position.
But it goes back to what I said about it. You don't want a PR nightmare. That's the one thing that you don't want on any level. You don't want a PR nightmare.
You know, and the balance here, Scoop, which goes beyond sports, when you look at the economy, the gross national product or whatever it was, you know, I'm not a financial analyst, but, you know, one of the worst quarters ever in American history, there's a fine line between what do we keep moving forward with and when do we stop it again, if we stop it again, how much damage could we do to our country for years to come?
Right.
There's that. Right. And I'm not that decision maker. I get to worry about my family. I care about my friends. And I give my opinions on a statewide sports show. That's it.
Yeah, no, I get it. But it's going to be interesting to see what they, from a professional business standpoint, and each league being a professional business model, how they look at one another to see what works and what's not going to work.
Yeah, that's why. But the NFL can't look at Major League Baseball. They can because they're the two without a bubble. And, you know, the NBA, NHL, everything seems to be going very well with the bubble.
Well,
so I applaud Silver. I applaud Bettman and what they're doing with the NHL and the NBA.
But think about it is that they're starting off trying to finish something, Major League Baseball and the NFL are trying to do a full, or they're starting off seasons as opposed to trying to finish.
I know.
Think it's easier to create a bubble situation when you're just trying to finish something, because you're dealing with a reduced situation as opposed to trying to replicate what is a full season. So that's why I think it's hard for the NFL to look at NHL and the NBA and say, okay, we can do that, but we can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
They're
at the tail end of their thing.
I know, buddy. Hey, Scoop, great conversation, my man. Stay safe in Chicago.
Always,
and we'll talk soon.
Talk soon, B. All right, man. Peace.
Scoop Jackson, ESPNChicago.com, NBA Insider.